I just want to refer to a chapter in John 17. You most, if not all, will know it very, very well. Of course, it is the precious prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we are privileged to have recorded for us in the Scriptures. And this is what he said. These things Jesus spoke and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that as to all that thou hast given to him, he should give them life eternal. And this is the eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Just thinking about what God has given. He's given a lot. I wonder if you appreciate tonight what God has given. Given in the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given him in the absence of us being able to give anything worthy to grant our salvation. There is truly nothing that we can give. We have nothing to offer God to merit our salvation. I know these are very familiar words, but let us understand freshly tonight the love and the grace and the mercy of God that has given everything that we might be reconciled back to God through the death of his Son. So many in this world try to offer something, try to give something, try to live a different way. Try to constrain their lives. Some men might do that. They might seek to constrain their lives. To seek not to do sin. To not to go to certain places where they may be tempted to sin. But my friend, living life your that way is not sufficient to save you from your sin. Because you cannot help yourself. We are born in sin. And iniquity have we been brought forth. How desperate our condition before a righteous and a holy God. Amazing to consider what was spoken by that man apparently in a reading. That he was offended to hear that he was a sinner. Well, I suppose it is an offence really to us as natural men and women. That we are wrong and that we have gone our own way. But how true it is. How true it is, don't we just know it in our own lives, day by day, even the very small things, that we are sinners. By nature, we are sinners, and we are unable to help ourselves. There's nothing that we can offer. Well, in the absence of us being able to offer anything, you might say, well, all that we have to offer is our sinfulness, our sinful nature. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the very best that man could offer. The very, very best. Our righteousnesses, even they, are as filthy rags, my friend. Unacceptable to God, unacceptable to a righteous and a holy God. So what is the answer? Well, God has provided the answer. He has provided it in his only beloved Son. And the gospel message goes out today in fresh power as it ever did amongst those early Christians. That Christ has offered himself that we might go free. God has offered his Son. He has given his Son at Calvary's cross that we might go free, that we might have eternal life. And that is what is spoken of here. It says in verse 3, and it's particularly what I wanted to draw attention to this evening, is eternal life. And I would ask you that question tonight. Do you have eternal life? Maybe it seems a bit abstract. Our lives are supposed to last for 75 years or more. I don't know what it is now, maybe 80. What is eternal life? It's life as lived through Christ, with Christ in us, knowing God through Christ. That's what eternal life is, my friend. And it says here that this is the eternal life. Here we have the best definition of it, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Well, that does away with every grey area, so much greyness in the world today about what they call gods. I don't wish to speak about any other God apart from the God that is known through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was in the office the other day and there was a meeting going on at a sort of casual table a few metres away, and one man there just jested. He said, well, nobody believes in God anymore, do they? Such is the state. Such is the state of man by nature, but such is the state indeed of this country in this age, when men have turned away from the Christian message. How privileged we are as a country to have had the gospel message spoken, and it still is being spoken tonight. Oh, what folly it is, what foolishness it is to say that they don't believe in God, because that will cease to be. My friend, all will bow the knee to Jesus. Every man and every woman and every child will bow the knee to Jesus for an absolute certainty. We have the opportunity to bow the knee now. Bow the knee in this hour to the name of Jesus. Own his lordship over your life. My friend, if you have not bowed the knee in your life, then if you pass from this scene, and it will happen, to another scene, you will bow the knee to Jesus in a very different scene. And it will be at the great white throne, where every knee will bow and own him. But the gospel is that you can bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, who has given everything that you might be set free. Everything has been given. Everything has been provided by God. That is, there is not one small... Nothing is left. Absolutely nothing is remaining. God has given everything. Most of all, he's given his only Son, that we might come to know him through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of how that was personified in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He knew his Father's will, and he was prepared to give his own life that we might go free. He was prepared to be offered as a sacrifice on Calvary's cross that we might go free. He accepted those crown of thorns, that crown of thorns that was thrust upon his head. He accepted the mockery from man. He saves others. Himself he cannot save. Oh, how true that was. I don't suppose the person who said those words realized the gravity of what they were saying. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Yes, he did save others. And he was not to save himself, because he came to save others from their sins. That was his motivation in life, was to glorify his God and Father and to save sinners from their sinful state. He was prepared for all the malice of man. He was prepared for the scourging. Think of how his back was scourged. Deep furrows in the back of my Saviour. Think of how the nails were hammered into his hands and his feet on that awful cross. You think about how even his clothes were taken from him. How he was prepared for all of that. All of that. And then he gave his soul an offering for sin. That was the most amazing thing, my friend, is that our Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to be made a sacrifice for sin, the sins of the world. I hesitate to speak of it because it is a holy matter, but God forsook him there at Calvary's cross that I might never be, that all my sins, so many, might be cleansed, might be done away with, might be eradicated forever before the sight of a holy and righteous God. And the same can be true for you tonight. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, it is true for you tonight that the Lord bore your sins when he was forsaken at Calvary's cross. He was forsaken that you might go free. What wonderful news that is. Nothing left to be done. He could cry from that cross, "It is finished." What a cry of power and of victory. "It is finished." And that means that if you trust in Christ, then all of your sins have been forgiven. They are all done away with, and they will never be remembered anymore. How wonderful that is. I trust that every soul in this room tonight knows the cleansing power of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that, how that soldier pierced the side of our Lord Jesus Christ, and forthwith flowed blood and water, blood for our redemption. How costly it was. What a price was paid at Calvary's cross. What a price. You think of how awful it is to think of Judas, that awful man who offered Christ up for 30 pieces of silver. But what Christ gave was priceless. What a priceless offering was made there at Calvary's cross that we might go free. So the gospel comes to you that God has given everything that you might have eternal life, that you might know the only true God, the only true God. I pray that these words, in all of their truth and their gravity, might come to you tonight in the gospel, that you might realise that they're unshakable, they're so true, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. How faithful these words are. There's only one way to come to know our God, and that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is, our God is indeed a consuming fire. He is a righteous and a holy God. And as such, we would tremble. You might say, as natural men and women, we would tremble at the thought of coming near to God. And yet, my friend, the miracle of it is that we can come near to God in peace. If we come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, then we can have access even into God's presence, a righteous and a holy God, but above all, a loving God, as demonstrated through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you be trusting in him tonight. These are serious matters to consider, my friend. They relate to the destiny of your never dying soul. Forget about everything that has occupied you during the week, and forget about everything that is natural that's concerned you today. Just think about that. What is on offer in the gospel is the offer of God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and how he has given himself at Calvary's cross that you might receive that blessing. I've spoken about that. God has given so much. But have you received? Have you received tonight that wonderful gift? The gift of faith. It's open to you to reach out your hand tonight and receive that blessing. You can't just sit back. You must receive. Just reach out with your hand and receive that blessing from God. And repent. How important that is. I was noticing in the reading of some scriptures before this preaching, again in the early Acts and Peter's preaching, how often he mentioned repentance and how important it is that we must repent before a righteous and a holy God, as those who have been convicted by the Spirit of our sinful state. It is right and it is absolutely necessary that we should repent and turn from our sinful ways, acknowledge how we have fallen. We have fallen from grace. Each and every one of us is sinful. But then to be able to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful hope that gives the soul, you know, to be able to have faith. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. Well, may you have that faith tonight, the certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did there at Calvary's cross is all sufficient to cleanse you from each and every sin. May you reach out and accept the wonderful offer, the wonderful gift of salvation that God is offering you tonight in the gospel. Reach out and make it your own. Confess your sins before a righteous and holy God, and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for his name's sake. Amen.